Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Junior's ready. Stand by.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm joined here with my co-host, Frank Gao, and we have a very special guest, Matt Bergen. Now, Matt Bergen is a firefighter by trade who lives out in Charlotte, North Carolina. He is very familiar with natural terrain and technical two-gun matches as he competes in Jason Byerly's Zoo City matches. Matt is currently serving as the match director for the Tactical Games TAC Two-Gun. Matt, while we have you on here, can you go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself and your shooting history and how you got started into it all?
Absolutely. So like you say, fireman by trade, going on into 14 years now. So I'm lucky enough to be the guy that drives the fire truck and tries to push people into ditches. So I'm very good at it. They tend to get out of the way when the fire truck's coming at them at 70 miles an hour.
Hell yeah. But,
so got into competitive shooting about 10 years ago, on a whim, honestly, just like everyone else, I was shooting in indoor ranges, you know, a ton of those around here, and it just turned into one of those. It wasn't a challenge. On a sheer whim, talked to a buddy. He said, hey, man, I'll take you out to it. There's a match, indoor match going on. Got into it, got absolutely hooked, and have just been following it ever since and just seeing what I can get into in the shooting world. So I did really cut my teeth in IDPA, got to doing a lot of state matches, pretty big matches going around, kind of rotated out of that, got into USPSA for a little bit, and then, you know, really got hooked into the hybrid two gun, you know, with some physical style matches like the Tactical Games and the Rumble that's down here in North Carolina.
So what drove you into doing Tactical Games? Like, because you kind of focused that on that primarily for a while there, didn't you?
Yeah, got into them pretty good. I just on a random Facebook post happened to see Tim Burke put out something that he was coming to North Carolina. So I happened upon their second one ever, went down there, absolutely got my ass kicked and fell in love with it for the fact of, you know, being a fireman, you know, staying in shape. That's something I'm big on, just even in the fire service. And it was really that concept of, it was like, okay, you know, I like shooting. And it was just that extra added stress of, you know, there were guys that were physically crushing me out there, but I could stay in it with the shooting. And then it turned into that kind of that interesting balance of like, okay, like how hard can I push this? You know, and it translated into work. You know, it's something I've been able to get the guys on at my station on, you know, working out. It just kind of turned into an extra motivation, so to speak, for you know, life and being able to do it at the Tactical Games.
So I often describe to people who aren't familiar with the Tactical Games and anything like that, is that the Tactical Games is kind of mix of the CrossFit Games with marksmanship involved. How would you best describe TAC2Gun?
So I would best describe it as the inverse of the Tactical Games. So, you know, this is about trying to bring really great shooting, different shooting styles together, and having some physical fitness challenges involved, right? It is a component. It is not the component. You know, it's just there to provide an extra level, an extra element that people have to work through more than anything.
So, you know, kind of going into that, you know, in three gun, multi-gun, everybody's just kind of standing there watching. You know, nobody's really saying anything. Everything's kind of quiet. But one thing I refer back to the Tactical Games, because whenever I got into that, people are kind of like cheering you on, you know, like they're motivating you. How would you describe the atmosphere with TAC2Gun? And what would you like to see come out of people as people are competing?
Sure. I will always say I've always thought one of the best things about the tactical games was the atmosphere that they had initially and what they have created around it is that, like you say, it makes for a long day when you're in a squad, no one's really talking to each other, and it's just like this quiet thing going on. You know, it's almost put off, and it really doesn't help the new shooters that come out. You know, it's just that one extra speed bump in the way for them wanting, you know, they look at it and go, eh, I don't really like what I'm seeing around here. So I absolutely want to capitalize on what the tactical games does is that the best matches I've ever been to, the squad is cheering you on. You know, you're helping coach newer shooters through it to help, you know, ease that on them because right, they're not going to win. You want to give them the best experience that you can to make them come back. Best example I can say is I took my wife out to a TRC battle rattle one time, you know, which is a, you know, John Sherber puts on a great match.
Oh, hell but, yeah.
You know, right. Absolutely. And that is the style that I love is that, you know, I'd walk up to the RO and say, hey man, do you mind if I be right behind her for this? Right. This is her first time. And they're like, absolutely come on with me, you know, cause she wants to hear my voice kind of helping coach her a little bit to this stuff. So coaching, absolutely. Right. This is to me equal parts competition, equal parts training opportunity for a lot of the people that show up out here. The pros, right? They're going to run full tilt. They're going to go do their thing. And, you know, they're going to execute it 100%. But it's the average everyday man or woman that you're helping, you know, let them learn and teach them and give them the best chance to have a good stage and come away from that stage happy, right? Hey, you know, maybe they miss at the 500 yard, but you help coach them onto the 300 and 400 yard target, you know, with some wind calls. And they're like, hell yeah, man. Like I've never shot out that far before, you know, or, Hey dude, you missed that steal over there real quick. Go over there. You know, oh, hey dude, thanks man. I appreciate that. That's really what I want to strive for is that kind of atmosphere.
I guess the best way to kind of describe it is like a pro-am type atmosphere. Yeah. Like somebody just there coaching, helping along the way and just feeding that person the information they need because it's something that's potentially new to them. And this is a new sport. This is a new type of competition. And you want to kind of have that grassroots of, hey, this we're trying to build a community here where people are just there to help each other.
Absolutely. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I would love nothing more than to have like a squad with half pros in it and a squad, you know, half everyday person. So that way, you know, the pros say, hey, man, I noticed you did this last stage. Like here, come here. Like just a little tidbit for you. Cause that's really right. The way how you learn is watching the pros run it and going, wow. Like, okay. Like I, you know, you always pick up stuff from that of seeing like watching how they get into position, you know, watching how they're running a stage that fast, you know, okay, now I'm starting to pick up on that sort of stuff. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, that's one thing. And we kind of talked about this beforehand. One thing I absolutely love about the tactical games is kind of that atmosphere. It's like, it's a community of people really just trying to help each other out, whether it's physically or shooting wise. And it's like, it's not uncommon that you know, you have people like, for instance, the TAC 2 gun stage at the team event, you know, a couple weekends ago. Like, you know, I heard people make comments of, oh, the USPSA and the action shooters are going to love this stage. Like, you know what? Yeah, it's kind of like what we do, but it's also an opportunity for us to coach somebody on our style of shooting and make them better and saying, hey, you don't have to just stop here and take these shots, you know, one target at a time. It's, hey, look at where you're standing and find the most targets that are exposed and take all your shots from there and then move, like drop step and then move over here and go as fast as you can and engage all these targets. And it's like, it's an opportunity to help because the way I kind of look at things now is I don't want you to lose based on a stage plan. I want to lose based on your shooting, or I want you to do better based on your shooting and your ability. I don't want the deciding the factor to come down to just a stage plan. You know, that's null and void. Get better at shooting.
Absolutely. Great example. So, you know, just got off the Griffin Group Rumble, buddy, Chris Hutchison, you know, we're going back and forth and literally stage one, I'm going in front of him and we're moving 150 pound bag here and there. And I literally walk right off of it. I'm like, hey man, this is what I did with the bag for the first, you know, obstacle. It felt pretty good. He's like, yeah, that's what I think. I'm like, yeah, I'd go with that. Like, that looks faster to me, right? I want to beat him at his best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I want. And that is, I would agree, that is the thing I want to encourage, is like giving that helping hand, because that's what somebody walks away with and saying, you know what, man, maybe I didn't shoot as well as I thought I could, but wow, I had a great time doing it. Like, this guy's over here literally giving me wind calls, you know, and got me on target, or, you know, helping coach me through this little something I was struggling with. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, the way I look at it is, you want to be the best version of yourself every day, and you want to encourage each person that's out there to be the same. You know, it's a beautiful thing. Kind of moving into, you know, roles and responsibilities with judges and RSOs. What kind of role do you want them to take whenever they're, you know, evaluating their competitor that's going through a stage?
Honestly, I'd say very similar, right? They are, I want them there helping, you know, the pros, they're honestly probably going to look back and say, hey man, like, this is all that I want from you for input. Hey, great. It's everyone else that, A, I want them to be very consistent, that if they can see a miss at distance, hey dude, you're off plate, half right, you know, come give them a correction and get them on it, you know, because they're in to do that for everybody. And you know, most of the average person, you know, they go into brain lock half the time, you know, with the complexity of these stages. So, you know, it's letting them say, you know, get to a point, say, hey man, hang on, you forgot this piece of steel over here real quick, run and get it, you know, okay, let's keep going. Or, hey, you know, you left your mag over here, like, go grab it real quick. And that way they're not just getting dinged, you know, like, they're just mutes and everyone is silent and just mm-hmm. letting them fail. You know, cause that to me is the difference in categories, right? The pros, they've got it nailed down 100%. They're running like cheetahs and they've got their stage plan absolutely memorized. It's the everyday person that all of a sudden they're like, they start going to war with something, or they just completely come unglued. You know, they're just not used to the complexity, and the judge is there trying to help get them the most success in the stage. You know, maybe they part-time out. That's going to happen, but they say, hey, you know, you didn't just let me just walk off a cliff by myself and you just didn't say anything. You know, again, I want to give everyone the best experience they can, especially the average everyday person in this kind of gig.
No, that's awesome. And I know for a fact, like in North Carolina, I mean, shoot, North Carolina has the best damn ROs in town. Like, especially if you can get some of the guys that help Jason, you know, you're going to have some of the best ROs in the game.
You know, and I'll be honest, you know, Jason has been, excuse me, he's been a mentor. He's helped me out with a lot of stuff. And he's the guy that I watch and I go, okay, this is how I want to design stages. Like, you know, the presentation, the intricacy of it. I know if there's a barrel, there's probably a piece of steel behind it, right? That's the first thing with Jason is you start going, okay, hang on. I better start walking to every single corner I can find because there's something hidden.
Yep.
But that's why he's known for creating some of the best stages around.
I mean, he's been doing it so long and he's very technical. Like, yes. He doesn't want you to just shoot a burner stage as fast as you can. He wants to give you a show. Like, the best way he describes it is, I am creating a dance, and if you get off beat, the dance is going to be messed up. But if you shoot it the way it's supposed to be shot, it's going to flow perfectly.
Agreed. 100%. And that is something that I look for in my stage design, is that, you know, almost a rhythmic speed up, slow down, you know, can you control the pace of how fast can you push on the gas? And then how quickly can you brake check to make that perfect shot and then take right back off again? Absolutely.
Yeah. No, it's awesome that, you know, somebody else has recognized that and they're going to incorporate that, because now you're just going to create a whole new evolution of shooters, a whole new group of shooters that didn't get their start in the multi-gun community. And even those that do come over, but you're going to have a whole conglomeration of different style people, different backgrounds and they're going to see this whole show that somebody kind of created.
Absolutely.
But kind of moving on, you know, and we talked about the tactical games, and so Tac2 Gun falls underneath the tactical games umbrella. What is the relationship there between the tactical games and Tac2 Gun?
Well, so, you know, the tactical games, a lot of people heard about them now. You know, they have, you know, they're starting to become the big boys on the block, right? So they are the, you know, they're the parent company. They're the Coca-Cola. And, you know, we're an offshoot. So, you know, the tactical games owns, I would call it the regular tactical games event. They have a tactical game sniper challenge and then now Tac2 Gun. So, you know, they are the parent company, but we are, you know, our own separate match, own separate rule set. You know, it's just a completely different entity that we just happen to have their resources to be able to pull from, you know, to really try to make the best match possible to be able to put it on the ground.
Now, I'm excited to see where it goes. I'm definitely interested in coming. I wish I could make Texas. Work commitments, but I'm definitely going to try and be down there for the North Carolina one, and that's the week after June 9th.
That is the first weekend of June, so we're the week before Duskin. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to definitely try and be down there for that. And if anything, like if you need any assistance helping, you know, our RO or anything like that, if you need anybody to help out, I'd be more than happy to come down and help there too.
No, I love it. We can always use the help. The big thing has always been, you know, I'm always recruiting to build crew. You know how it is with Jason. It's that it takes, and I've always been happy enough to try and help Jason out when I can, just to be a hammer swinger. Cause hey, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's got to get put on the ground to really make Disneyland show up for the shooters. You know, it really does.
Yeah, there's a lot of attention and detail involved. Recently, having taken over as match director for QSC, Tim Hitchcock was walking me through all kinds of things. He's like, hey, if someone asks for a stapler, you can't trust that motherfucker. Like, you can trust some people to line up the target exactly over the old target, but there's a chance they might change your presentation. They might jack up the flow of the stage. So yeah, it's good that you learn from one of the best. I am interested in, so for the longest time, like Matt and I are huge fans of tactical games, right? But I would characterize it as like majority fitness challenge, and with marksmanship that is mostly static and not exactly dynamic. So we interviewed Nick earlier, I think it was this year, and he told us that this is the year that they were going to push the envelope on shooting. So what did those conversations look like in between you, him, and I believe Jared at the time, in regards to like where the level of shooter was at in the tactical games and where you want to push people to by the time that you've implemented Tac2 Gun and this different style of shooting?
Good question. So, you know, you mentioned, you say TTG is 60% fitness and 40% marksmanship. And I would tend to agree with that. You know, there is no doubt the tactical games is absolutely legitimate on the physical challenges they put forth. You know, the constraints they have, though, obviously is running five wide. You know, you have to create a safe enough environment for shooters, and that limits the amount of shooting and the style of shooting that you can do. So, you know, the inverse of that is I would call us the mirror opposite. So we are, you know, 70%, I'm about 70% shooting, and there's, you know, a 30% physical aspect to it amongst some other unique things we're trying to do. What I want to be able to do is say, hey, you know, you've started the tactical games, you know, you've got an introduction to shooting, you know, you're learning marksmanship. Okay. You know, you have the fundamentals down. Now, you know, we're going to take you from NASCAR to Formula One. You know, it's time to really start pushing the envelope of what you consider are the capabilities of your guns. You know, movement, right? You said the technical shooting aspect, positional rifle shooting out the distance, and being able to do that, you know, all at Mach 1, you know, where you're honestly where the pros are at, right? Because they're the guys shaving tenths of a second off these times and settling into these positions and taking 500-yard shots, you know, sub 3 seconds. You're like, wow, you know, that's possible. Yes. Okay. So that is really where how I see Tac2 Gun being different is, you know, we've run one shooter at a time, you know, very similar to USPSA 3-gun style stages. And that just right opens up the variety of shooting that I'm able to accomplish on the stage, you know, completely different. Right now, you know, the sky's the limit. You know, we have this, you know, natural bay that I can do anything I want in. Let's see what kind of weird stuff we can do that no one, you know, has maybe never shot before. Absolutely.
Yeah, good stuff. I'd like to dig down into some of the details of like how exactly Tactical Gun differs from tactical games. So you've already talked about the style of shooting and the physical challenges. What are some of the, so there's a recurring set of implements that we see in the tactical games proper. Do you have a set of recurring implements that you are going to be using for Tactical Gun?
Absolutely not. Honestly, the weirder I can make it, the better. Now, you know, there's only so many different physical challenges you can do. So, you know, honestly, it's the, what can I find on site that we can use? Is there natural terrain that I can use? Are there obstacle courses that I can use? I have no shame in saying that I'm designing an obstacle course for North Carolina. You know, it'll be in a place that you never would have thought of, but it's like, hey, you know what? I think I can make something work with this. So just, I'm looking for variety. So I will probably not be using any of the tactical game implements other than probably a sled, you know, because that's just a good versatile piece of equipment I can use. You know, so honestly, if you're looking, I'm looking to push something, pull something, pick up something, and then figure out something really weird to do that like maybe you've never done before. You know, just that's the sort of stuff I'm looking at.
Are you going to have a breacher door?
Oh, I will probably absolutely definitely use that breacher door at some point. I like to try to fit stuff at events where it makes sense.
Yeah.
So honestly, like if I were to ever go to GTI, I would probably put a breacher door there. You know, okay, you know, you're in this, you know, Chernobyl, it would make sense that there, that, you know, you would have to breach a door to enter a structure, you know, that sort of thing. So I try to really take what the event site gives me and flow with that. You know, Griffin Group, we're going at the distance. I've got the room to run. And I think there's only two stages right now of designing that are like 100 yards or less. Like everything else is going to just reach out. I just have to for a match like that.
Are you going to use the plane this year?
We're not using the plane this year. I am, however, that is definitely on the books at some point. 100%. Yes. Yes.
Got to use it at some point, right? That's what it's there for.
I mean, you know, why not? I mean, yes, absolutely. Yeah. At some point, that plane will definitely come into play.
Hell yeah. So tactical games are renowned for being these marathon events, right? You got to compete for 2 days. For nationals, you got to compete for 3 days. How many days does the Tactical Gun encompass?
So Tactical Gun will be 2 days, total of 8 stages. So, you know, pretty standard, 4 stages, you know, 1 day, 4 stages the next day. What I would say though, is that obviously, you know, the tag games, like what I jokingly refer to as the tag games limp that you start seeing, you know, come walking around is, you know, you've earned your money. You've gotten your money's worth out of it. Mm-hmm. I want to say you've gotten your money's worth out shooting wise. So, you know, you will be a little, you know, you'll definitely be a little sore, you know, but it'll definitely be the, I have enjoyed the process of like what I got into, like, hey, it's not going to kill you, but it's not going to tickle either. It's just enough to make it a little bit harder and add an element to it that you may not be used to.
Nice. I want to talk about the scoring system real quick. So I was there for the events that you rolled out in Florence. And the scoring system, I'm assuming, hasn't changed. You essentially use USPSA minor scoring, where alpha is a 5, a charlie is a 3, a delta is a 1. And the athlete has to get at least 8 points per target in order to neutralize it. Can you just talk about how you got to that scoring system?
Sure. So we basically researched, I've always liked USPSA hit factor scoring. And I've always liked, you know, 3-gun scoring. But what I was never big on was the 2 anywhere on paper for 3-gun. It just seemed a little too wild for me, you know, just that always being in control of whatever gun you're running. So, you know, we sat there, we fooled around with it. We said, you know, an Alpha Charlie is pretty standard in USPSA. You know, that's really what most guys are just kind of gunning for, you know, not 2 alphas. They're running as hard as they can. So I said, well, okay, 8 points seems pretty easy. It's easy to score, you know, for the judges and everything. So, hey, you know, as long as you get 8 points on there, that's what 85% of the target we're giving you. So, hey, rock on. I wanted to give them the incentive, at least for cardboard, to push the speed for our match, right? There is, if you make the penalty so severe, people are going to really slow down, because it's just not worth it. But we're touring with how much of a penalty it'll be, probably in the 3 second range. But that, hey, it's time for you to push on the gas and just, because if you're not, you're going to get lapped, at least for anything shooting cardboard wise.
Yeah, completely makes sense. And so you talked about penalties, but on the physical side, how are you implementing penalties for, failure to complete a certain physical action, move a sled or whatnot?
Sure. Great question. Let me be the first to say that the way we've designed Tag 2 Gun is that you cannot win without doing both. It's not going to be able to be gamed either way to win a stage, just that way we've got kind of the penalties nailed down. But I'll say this. So as far as the physical challenges are concerned, I'm going to say I would call them all reasonable. So, right, I want it to be we completely vet every single stage. We vet everything that we're doing per division to say, okay, this is the time standard we want guys to be able to do it in. And that, okay, like this is absolutely accomplishable for the vast majority of people that show up. You don't have to be a pro level CrossFitter. This is totally within reason. If for some reason, right now, right, we all have day jobs, we have wives and things to go home to, even driving a fire truck can involves me doing something. So, if somebody hits something and they're like, man, this is just not my day. It's past what my capability is. You can absolutely skip it. I don't have anything designed that a physical challenge is the gatekeeper to a stage. Like, hey, if you can't get through this sandbag, you can't shoot at all, right? This is make it or break it. So, if somebody hits that point, they say, okay, man, I'm just keep on rocking on. The penalty though is usually 3 to 4 times like what it would normally take an average person to do it. So if it's an average 60 second sandbag run, something, the penalty is going to be 3 to 4 minutes to discourage guys from just touching the sandbag and just trucking on, trying to game the system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it completely makes sense because people are going to, unfortunately, in the sport of practical shooting, it is full of gamers. You get less of them at the tactical games, but they still do exist and you still have to be prepared for them. One last question for you, just in terms of the way you have tactical guns set up. In its relation with tactical games, what's the conversation like when you guys talk about how many of the points a tactical gun stage is worth within the context of a tactical games match? Because at Florence, it was about a 15% of the points, like the total match points. Do you see that changing, or is that kind of the sweet spot of where it's going to stay at?
As far as the tactical games is concerned, I leave that up to Jake and them to figure out how they want to score that. As far as tactical gun is concerned, every stage is worth 100 points, whoever gets the most at the end wins in that division. But yeah, we're just going to keep it standard. So, every stage is 100 points basically.
Okay. Fair enough. So there's a lot of practical shooting matches out there that have incorporated some kind of physical dress, whether it's like just how long, how they use natural terrain or the number of targets that you're shooting on a jungle run. So would you say that Tactical Gun is a bit of a callback to the old days of like expanded stages with longer movements? And also incorporating a balance of like technical ability and speed?
Absolutely. What I like to say is I'm looking for both variety and balance. There is like Matt said, there's a bit of a dance to this of I want people to go to a stage and say, okay, I'm going to walk over one bay over and it's going to look completely different. Like I'm going to get into something totally different that I just did not do. So having that ability to, balance, yes, some technical USPSA style shooting along with the, the positional rifle of 3-gun in a stage, but then, turn around and have to run an obstacle course to where, hey, you're going to shoot everything, but you're going to turn right around and go do an obstacle course that may be a little extended from everybody else. Yes. So just that constant, I don't really know what I'm going to get into. I just know it's going to be different.
Yeah, I'm really glad that these stages are starting to make their way into the tactical games. The couple stages you talk about flow, the couple stages that you set up for Florence, they definitely flowed, right? I was walking through them and I was just all giddy with excitement because for the longest time, Practical shooting and tactical games have been two separate entities. Now they're merging. I would still go shoot the tactical games, even if it didn't have practical shooting in it, because it's its own beast. It's something for me to train for, and I love the community. But the fact that these things are merging is, I just can't, you know, chef's kiss, man. I am super psyched. So say that I'm a practical shooter, and for the longest time, like, I've seen the tactical games as a place where it's mostly working out and not a lot of shooting, or at least not shooting that's super interesting to me. If I want to get involved in TAC 2 gun, what are like the gear requirements and weapon requirements that I should be concerned with?
All right. So if you're, you know, if you've already started TTG, right, you've already got the stuff that you need. So what we really strive for is that A, the divisions are not based around any gear or gun requirement, right? It's based around the capabilities of the shooter, very much like what TTG does now. So, you know, we, as long as you make weight, you can bring whatever you want. Play carriers, split rigs, chest rigs, does not matter. You don't have to weigh in slick. You can leave all your pouches on, right? Everything. So the intent of this was to let military, law enforcement, you know, civilians, you have built stuff that you set up and you're like, this is what I want to have. And I've never liked competitions where you had to start then taking stuff off to meet a certain division. So I want guys to be able to bring their duty issued stuff out and run it, test it, figure out what works. So as long as you make weight, you can run whatever you want gear wise. The only kicker is, and this will apply to guns too, what you check in on, you know, Friday or Saturday, you have to run the entire weekend. So, you know, if you have this pouch on there that is just not working, you're going to have to own it for the weekend, basically. But that's the easy thing for TTG. Guns and gear wise, everything goes. There's only two little easy restrictions, is that, you know, you can have any muzzle device you want since we're running a single person. So brakes are in. You can have any number of optics that you want. You can run whatever gun you want. The only thing you can't have is you have to have a slide mounted optic on your handgun if you're running a red dot. And as far as rifles go, you just can't have any bags attached to the rifle or run any bags on yourself, right? Bipods are in. That's totally fine. You know, that's the only thing that we really don't allow on rifles. But yeah, TTG people, easy come over, right? Your stuff's going to work. You're going to be good to go with whatever you're running right now.
Yeah, great. That's the way it should be. You should make it so that most people can just come in with entry level gear. But I know you guys have an initial calendar coming out, but what locations are you going to be at in 2023? And then are there any other locations that you're currently working with right now that you'd be willing to talk about?
Sure. So currently we have three matches on the books. First one's coming up next weekend in Texas at ETTS range. So first weekend of May. Excited to get that one out, you know, get everything on the ground and let people really start figuring out TAC 2 gun. Next match will be first weekend of June in North Carolina Griffin Group. And then we will be partnering with an actual tactical games event at Prairie Fire the first weekend of September. So we will be at the range in conjunction with them. So people will have the option to shoot my match, shoot a tactical games match, or shoot both if they want to. So they, if they did that, they would shoot mine on Friday and then all of tactical games on Saturday. And then hopefully we're going to get a fourth one in the books. We're still talking to a couple ranges. So we're just trying to figure out which end of the country we want to land in for that one. But that's still in the works.
Very cool, man. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to answer our questions and introduce us to this. We're really excited to see this new sport get off the ground. We're excited to see how tactical athletes are going to take to it. But I'll throw it over to my co-host. Did you have any more questions?
No, I was going to ask you, Matt, if you had anything you wanted to add on.
No, the only thing I'd like to add on, so we've had a couple questions about if we're going to fall into the kind of the load and unload, kind of how the tactical games does. You know, that's obviously very unique to them. So, you know, that's just a little, we've had a couple questions about that. So the way we're designing TAC 2 gun is that, one, we're going to try and keep your guns hot as much as we can. So you will probably mostly start with a hot and holstered handgun. You know, rifle will be loaded or unloaded. So, you know, you won't be doing anything physical with a loaded rifle. You know, that's obviously not going to happen. But like you say, there's these, we want to keep you moving as much as we can. So the only thing we're going to have you do is, once you're done shooting, magazine comes out, you're racking around on the ground. That's what the RO is looking for, is a round rack in a clear chamber, and you are off to the races. So that to me really keeps, like you say, that flow going during a stage, right? You're not getting held up. The RO knows where to land, where to look, to just keep everything moving. And it really seems to work well in the Rumble. It's you know, Sherb has put it to the test for multiple years, and it really seems to work well to keep things on pace and, you know, getting through a stage.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate you coming out here, coming onto the podcast, and we really look forward to seeing the success of this. Like I said, if you need anything, you need any help, just reach out, let us know. We'd be happy to come out and help.
No, I appreciate it, guys. Appreciate you having me on.